Pasuk Mem Zayin. Okay, yeah, we'll have the Pasuk Yud, but I want to go back and read the Malbum. Okay, so we learned yesterday, to recap, we learned yesterday about this miraculous water that's going to come out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It starts off the size of the antenna of a locust, and then gets bigger, becomes the size of a shasi, which is a piece of wool, which is very, very thin. Then it gets thicker, the size of an erev. And then it gets thicker and becomes the size of ankle-deep water. And then the water swells the size of the knees. Then it comes the size of the waist. And then you can no longer pass. It's so wide you can't even pass. You have to swim through the water. And then the water turns into a massive stream. And on the two sides of the stream there are trees. And the trees are growing from this fresh water that's coming out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And it says this water is then going to spread to the Yam HaMelach. It's going to spread to the Kinneret, going to spread to the Okeanos, which is the Mediterranean, and from there the entire world. And it says that the waters of the world will be healed, which we learn according to the civil translation of the Mitsudos and Rashi means that the salt content will be removed and there will be fresh water instead of salty water.
Desalination.
What?
Desalination.
Correct. Desalination. We fit for drinking. Okay. That's how. What the simple translation of the words. That's what we learned yesterday. Now let's just go through the Malam over here. Is more of a symbolic of what this means. So let's go back to Pasuk in the Malam. Let's go back to Pasuk. Pasuk, I think hey would be a good place to start from. Okay, in the Malbum, Pasuk, let me just go back a little bit further. Oh, no, that's the right dash. Give me one moment. Okay, let's go to Pasuk Dalet. Let's read inside the Malbum, Pasuk Dalet, Vayomod Elek. And it's Perek Mem Zayin, Pasuk Dalet, the Malach. Measured 1,000 amos outside of the exit of the Azara, and water swelled to the point where it was ankle deep. Vayomad Aleph Harivius. Okay, then he measured another 1,000 amos, and it came to the side, came to the knees, then it came to the waist, and then it came to the point where it was too wide, too deep to walk through. One would need to swim if he wanted to go from one side to the other. So he measured four times 1,000 amos for a grand total of 4,000 amos. So pasuk, let's say pasuk dalid, vayomod modad oid elef. I'm getting reading in the Malbum pasuk dalid, vayomod modad oid elef amo behamayim higiu arberkayim. Vayomod elef amah hashlishes v'hoyu amayim ad hamosnayim pasukei. What? Are you berkayim? Okay, I have pasukei. Okay, so maybe I have different gears. Okay, whatever it is. Pasukei now in the Malbum. Vayomod elef harvius roki go hamaymod. After the fourth, when it came to 4,000 amos. The water swelled very much. Besides the pshutoy shel mikra, that there is going to be a miraculous stream, a miraculous flow of water that comes from the Kodesh HaKodashim. This idea is repeated in different places, in Zechariah and also in Yoel. Which we'll learn not that soon. If we'll still have a shear, I don't know if the shear is dwindling. If we'll still have a shear. What? All right, whatever. Whatever will be. The Hoya Bayamahu Yetsu Maim Chaim Yushalayim. Okay, the water on that day will come through Yushalayim. Kib Yushalayim Lohoya Maim Yoilam. Now, over here he says something very fascinating that Yushalayim, this is miraculous water. On that day, there will be Mayim Chayim in Yerushalayim because Yerushalayim never had a Mayon Me'olam. Isn't that interesting? Is that true today? There's no such thing as a real spring water in. So there's nothing today known. There's no known spring water in Yerushalayim. Nothing. That's a reality. It's a fact. Okay, it could be. I don't know. So this is going to be something that's going to be new. This is going to be a new reality in times of Mashiach. Is going to be a Mayim in Yerushalayim. V'yoz and then tisrabech ha-barocha mi-mukar Mayim Chayim. And at that moment in time, there will be a bracha from the Mukar Mayim Chayim. Chutz mizek. Okay, that is the Pshutoy Shel Mikra. We are describing a miraculous change of reality that will occur in the times of Mashiach. Now, chutz mizek, besides the Pshutoy Shel Mikra, it's also coming to be merames on something symbolic. Chutz mizebol rames gamkein al nehadas. It's coming to tell us there's going to be a change of attitude. People are going to become intelligent. They're going to come to recognize that there is a creator. The Torah, v'hu emuna, asher yetzu mibeis Hashem. The Torah and emuna will come forth from the Beis HaMikdash. Ki mitziyoin teitzei sora. Ube'er shehamayim hakidoshim o'ele. And this pasuk is telling us that this holy water yoytze mitachas miftan habayis hayimonis minegev lamizbeach loy mitzad kesef hatzofon. It's the water is not coming from the north side. Kitzad zofon hayimiyuchel l'shritas kodesh kodashim shirubam bo l'chaper pesha v'ulehasem chatos k'may chatos v'asham shbo l'chaper v'kam oy l'bo l'chaper al hir halev yalasei v'lav Hanitik liasei, umitzad zelo yizlu mehadas midol yom. Very fascinating idea. The reason why, again, now again, the Malam is going into Drush, Machshava, and he's telling us the reason why this spring is not coming from the north side, the spring is going to turn to the southern side, is because the north side represents chet. What took place on the north side of the Mizbeach? That's where Shchitasan Batsafa and all of the Kodshei Kodashim are sacrificed on the north side. What is the primary purpose of most of the Kodshei Kodashim? Kapara for chet. Achatos is mechaper for kares. An asham is mechaper also from serious averos. Even a carbon oilo, which is Kodshei Kodashim, is mechaper for hirhur avera. Machshava is the improper thoughts. It's mechaper for a bitul asei. So basically, all of the Kodshei Kodashim that are offered on the north side of the Mizbeach are there to mechaper for chet. That is not the purpose of the Nehadas. The Nehadas, why? Ki lo yedu es Hashem mitzad. People are not mitzad yiras ha'oinesh v'sur meira. Isn't this an amazing insight? People will not come to recognize Hashem out of fear. When you terrorize people, you tell them that you're going to be struck down with lightning, you're going to go to Gehenim, from that will not come Yidias Hashem. And by the way, that's exactly what the whole philosophy, the ideology of Christianity is all about. Okay, this is an incredible insight, is that their religion does not lead to Yiras Hashem. When you're told that when you put every person by default goes to Gehenim, that's what is the difference between Christianity, right? The difference between Christianity and Judaism. Christianity, you're condemned, you're damned, whatever the terms are. The moment you come into this world, it's a one way street. You're going to Gehenim. You're going to burn, and the only way you can avoid going to Gehenim is if you redeem yourself. How do you redeem yourself? Whatever they tell you to do.
Absolution.
In Yadus,
you accept
whatever. Well, whatever their religion is all about. But by default, if you do not accept it, if you do not accept their religion, by default, where are you going? You're going straight to Gehenim. So one that is the ideology. In Yadus, it's just the opposite. Just the opposite. Innocent until proven guilty. That a person comes into this world, he automatically goes to Gan Eden. There's no ands, if, or buts. The only way you lose Gan Eden is through chait. Yeah?
Isn't that a bigger draw than the other one? I'm saying Christianity is like, it's such a down type.
Exactly, it is. It is.
Why is it such a big draw?
Negative.
Why is it such a big draw?
Yeah.
Because you have to do very little. That's why. What do they demand of you? Nothing. What do they demand? They tell you you're going to go to Gehenim. It's a very powerful psychological approach. It's very easy. They brainwash you're going to go to Gehenim, and all you got to do is nothing. What do you got to do? You got to go be baptized. I mean, what do you have to do already? Nothing. You have to do nothing. You have to observe any mitzvahs. You do whatever you want and just accept their God as God. That's it. In Yadus, a person comes into this world, you're going to Gan Eden. That's a given. If you want to enhance your experience in Gan Eden, it just shouldn't be a simple Gan Eden. You want to have luxuries in Gan Eden, so you have opportunities. You have Taryag Mitzvahs. Every mitzvah is another opportunity to enhance what you will enjoy in Gan Eden. And if you don't do the Taryag Mitzvahs, you'll still go to Gan Eden to a certain degree, as long as you don't do Averos. If you do Averos, then you're in trouble, then you're putting your Gan Eden in jeopardy. But you can do Teshuvah. So here he says, the Malbim says, is that telling a person that you're going to suffer, you're going to die, you're going to be punished, and therefore you have to be the carbon for atonement, this approach, when you focus on the Sur Meira, it will not lead to the Mei Hadas. It's not going to lead a person to recognize, to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, that's why this spring, symbolically, is being opened and is flowing on the southern side of the Azara, the location where you do not sacrifice korbanos. That's not the place where you offer, you sacrifice the kodesh kodashim. Rak, that's where you offer sacrifices that are positive. Powerful ideas over here. That's why the spring is coming on the right side, the Yemin, because the southern side of the Migdash is Moira on the Chesed of Hashem, the Midas Amitus, His truth, and to recognize Hashem's goodness. So in order for a person to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to be positive, don't focus on the negative. Ulam, now we're going further. What is the significance of these four measurements that Yechezkel measured? Perash Rav Yitzchak Abarbanel, Sarav So, Ravayevsky, we have here a shout out to the Barbanel. Shiroimez al Arba Mine Hasogois Shiasigues Hashem Aide Mehadas Hanoivim Min Hakoidesh. Four different types of dimensions of recognizing Hashem that's what they are Mirami. So here he explains. Number one, Ume of Soyim. We first come to the ankle deep water, or FS. FS means, like you said yesterday, FS means nothing. This is a very shallow moisture of the earth. Hu hasogas oilam ha-havoya v'yahefsid ha-hevel v'ho-efes. So what does this refer to? It refers to recognizing that this world exists. A very simple recognition, and the loss, words again are, hasogas oilam ha-havoya, the recognition of this world, v'ahefsid ha-hevel v'ho-efes, and the loss of hevel and efes. Okay, I'm not sure what he means. It means a very basic awareness of knowledge. A basic awareness of knowledge to know that there's a world and to recognize the futility and the foolishness that exists in this world and don't fall into that trap. The next level is Umei Birkayim, Hu Hasogas Olam Hagal Galim, Baalei Hatnua. This is the recognition of movement. The world is in a state of constant movement. Okay, that's a deeper level of knowledge to understand how everything, the bodies, how the world moves. Okay, the earth goes around the sun, and the moon goes around the earth, and all the various planets and stars.
I think what it's saying here is that the first stage is recognizing the world around you.
Okay.
And after that, recognizing that there is a larger order of things.
A larger order, a more complex reality. Next, Umei Mosnoyim, Hu Asogas Olam Hamalochim. When it says Mosnoyim, the loins, this represents that there's a spiritual component to this world. Asher Koicham Bim Mosnom, Giborei Koyach Oised Devaro. Now, what does it mean, Bim Mosnom? I don't know what that word means in this context. Bim Mosnom. Olam Hamalochim Asher Koicham Bim Mosnom. Bimosnam gibore koyach oise divaro. Okay, whatever that means. Ume sahu, the fourth different measurement, the waters would swell to the point where one would need to swim. Hu hasogoy swell ho eloy kus ashogohu
but you left out the part about the Malachim, which is, you know, still a higher order than the celestial heaven.
It's somewhere in between, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appointed Malachim, a higher level. Okay, four different levels. And then he goes on, this refers to actually recognizing Hashem himself, a person cannot possibly comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's beyond man's comprehension, period. Okay, so therefore this is the first approach. He already said two different yesodas. Number one, the difference between the north and the south. Number two, the significance of the four measurements, which reflects four different dimensions of this world. There is the very basic, the existence of this world. Then there is an order to this world. Then there is some type of buffer between this world and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's the Malachim. And then there is HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is described as water which you cannot pass through, which is symbolic of meaning that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite and it is impossible for a human being to comprehend HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he goes further. He's just getting warmed up over here. Okay, he's just getting started over here. Uladati, Ramaz bezeh ki agam shebe es ahit himol haaretz deyo es Hashem kamayim yichasu al yom. Although we know that from Yeshaya, that the time of Mashiach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the knowledge of Hashem will be infinite, will spread over the entire world. B'chol zo siyu domim kamayim ham chasim es hayom. Yet, it's not going to be the same. Every person, every nation, every community will have a different dimension, a different level of understanding Hashem. Just like the Yam, the depth of the sea varies.
Right.
Different parts of the sea have different depths. So, Tushayesh Mukamos Amukim Mukamos Bilti Amukim Ki Agam Shekulam Yakiru Es Hashem Yia Echilof Madregos Bekamus HaHasaga. Just because everyone now recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there's going to be different levels of understanding. The Echos, in Kamos, in quantity and quality, HaHasaga V'Oimka Shekul Echo Yasekifi Madrega. So each person will understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu according to his Madrega. There's a principle that just like no two people look alike, isn't that an amazing thing? In the history of the world, how many billions, trillions of people were there since the creation until today? I don't know if there's even a number, we even know a number. Probably is in the trillions. The trillions of people, hundreds of trillions of people that existed in this world from the time of creation until today. Right now there are 8 billion people in this world, approximately. Or is that correct? Something like that?
7 billion
people in this world. So every 50 years there's a turnover, there's another. And you go back to creation, talk about how people die, people, whatever, you add up the numbers, no two people look alike. Isn't that amazing? Even twins, even identical twins are not exactly the same. Okay, you can tell apart identical twins, no?
Parents can tell.
Can tell apart?
Not always.
Okay, whatever, but people look alike. No two look alike. No two look alike, Chazal say, that is a reflection of their mind. There are no two people who think alike. Each person, when they look at something, they look at an event, they look at a mitzvah, they see something, they have a different approach to understanding, to appreciating what they see in front of them. That's an amazing idea. And therefore, likewise, when the Mashiach comes, the whole world will see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Every single person has a different hasaga in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'idea lo ki oz yichalku ha'anoshim el arba madregos. This pasuk is telling us that the world will be divided into four different groups. And here, classic Malbim, he breaks it down into the four letters. Aleph. Umois asher yishoaru oid b'mamor hasichlus hakodum sheovdu lakachavim mazolois. There's going to be nations which to continue to cleave to worshiping the moon and the stars and the mazolois. Kamo China the Japan. Japan. What's China? China. China. The Japan. Japan. The Anshe Hodu. Ethiopia. Tehemi Kablum at
India.
India. Okay, India, this is a big chunk of the world. China, Japan, and in India. Hemi Kablum at Media Sakel, the Yuhamayim may of Soyim. They will be the lowest level. They will have some degree of recognition. I never appreciated this. When did the Malm write this?
Alba wrote this in the early 1500s.
No,
how do you know the Barbara?
He's quoting. No, he's not. No, this is not the Abravanel. He's not. He's saying his own opinion now. The Abravanel
quoted the Abravanel
in the beginning. Right. Oh, he has to be later. He had to be later because the Abravanel was almost 1700s.
Abravanel lived from 1434 to 1508.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry then. Okay.
I have a small book which says he was living in 1800s.
Who was living? The Malbum.
Malbum lived in the
Okay, so he's much later then. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Because I was wondering. He lived in Hungary and Romania. He was at the Chicago, Bucharest, somehow, until Eastern Europe.
I always wondered about the religion. The religion. So I have a friend. I haven't seen him in many years already. And he used to go, he travels, that's his business. He travels to China very often. He's involved in, I don't know, in making products. I think clothing, that's what he did. Remember, suits, exclusive designer suits. And he goes to China, and they manufacture the suits there. And he brings to America and he sells the suits. So he told me that the Chinese, he deals with them every day. This is what he told me, and he actually said this at a Shalosh Shuras. My father asked him to speak about Shalosh Shuras to explain to the people, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? To explain to the people what is the religious observance. I mean, how do they relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Chinese? And he basically said, zero. Zero, zero, zero. He says he had discussions with these people about God.
It wasn't always that way.
Right, it wasn't always that way. And probably what he's saying is limited.
Obviously, due to communism, a lot of it was wiped out. There are only traces of the older religion.
Do they have any religion? Do they have any religion? Are they pagans?
They had.
What did they have in the past? Pagans?
Buddhism.
So they had
but some concept of divinity they had.
There is a book by Takeya, which is, he says the Christians came in into
colonization
and stuck over before nothing was there.
Yeah, probably at the Marco Polo one.
Yeah.
So before they had zero.
Yeah.
And he said it's just very frustrating. I remember how he was describing.
They worship ancestors.
Even they just don't get it. They don't have any hakara that they're robots. They're just robots. They have a lot of the mailmen. They don't even know. A lot of the mailmen now in this neighborhood are Chinese. Do you notice that?
Yeah.
It's a new thing. We never had Chinese mailmen. Now we have a lot of Chinese mailmen.
These Asians.
And I always look at them like, what makes you tick? What do you think? What do you think? This guy is one time he goes to a Karn shul to the bathroom every day, and he stops off at a Schmidman shul. Also, he goes to the, and sometimes he sits down on steps and he eats his lunch, and he sees all these firm Jews, and I always wonder what do you think of us? What do you think of God? So I don't know. I don't know what goes through his mind, but it's very disturbing.
I'm sure most of us have worked with Asian co-workers and,
Yes, the ones that I work with, they're very flat.
Yeah.
They're very flat. I don't know, maybe.
If they come from the mainland, then clearly they're tabula rasa. I mean, they don't have any background in anything.
They don't divinity.
But no negative, not necessarily negative, just a blank.
I remember many years, I brought my parents, I always used to go bring the clothing to the cleaners on Avenue J. Avenue J, there's a cleaner on 60, on a Chinese cleaner, it's probably still there, on 16th Street. Where is it? It's on 16th, no, it's on 15th Street and Avenue J.
Right.
So we went there for so many years. My parents must have given them so much business. And I was the one who most of the time...
Like a laundry?
Yeah, Chinese. Chinese, dry cleaning. And I remember one time, it was probably one of the last times, because I don't go there anymore, but one of the last times I was there, there was an issue, there was a mistake, or something happened, I owed him $1. I don't have it. And he made such a big deal about it. He would not trust me to bring the dollar the next time. I mean, we go to him every single day, and I don't say that every so often. And over the years, we've given him so much business, and I was shocked. I really was shaken up How? I don't understand. You, I will give you so much business, and you know that I'm coming back.
You're looking to generalize from this?
Yeah. And I recognize from that is that, like, you know, these people, they just live in their own world. They just don't have this thing of emuna, belief in a human being. You know, a person is a b'tzelem elokim. There's a principle in life. A human being is created in the image of God. Okay, Rabbi Sai. It's a very important you said that a human being is created in the image ki b'tzelem elokim also esa adam. Just like there is a concept called emuna in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there is a concept called emuna in your fellow human being. If you don't have emuna in your fellow human being, it's a revelation. You don't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu to a certain degree.
Society wouldn't survive without that.
Emuna, exactly. The whole economy is built on emuna. Where do you find emuna? Where do you find this idea the most? On Yom Kippurim. Think about it. We mentioned this a few times. On Yom Kippurim, what happened? The Kohen Gadol goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. What does it say in the Pasuk? V'chol Adam lo yieh bo. What's the Pasuk? V'chol
Adam lo yieh bo amoei. I'd say so.
A human being may not. V'chol Adam lo yieh. A human being may not be in the oil moed when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefim Yom Kippurim. And Chazal Darshan, it says the word v'chol. V'chol means afilu malach. Make no games here. No one is allowed to know what's going on in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Even a malach cannot be there when the Kohen Gadol goes in lefnai v'lefnim to makdi the Keteres. Now think about it. In today's day and age, the more power you have, the more demand there is for transparency. That's the mitzvah of this world. If you are given responsibility, you are in charge of handling an enormous amount of money or a very great degree of responsibility, we don't trust you. We don't trust you. There are many layers of transparency that have to be put into place to make sure that the person who has so much power should not abuse his power and bring harm to his fellow man. Isn't that the name of the game today? Transparency. The more powerful you are, the more transparency we demand. And yet, the Kohen Gadol, he represents the entire Klal Yisrael, 15 million, today there are 15 million Jews in the world. He's going lefnai v'lefnim to bring kapara, and the Pasuk says, trust him. Trust him. How do we know that when he goes in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he's doing what he's supposed to be doing? Maybe when he's going in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, who knows what he's doing in there? Forget about being a stokey. How do we trust him? How can the Torah say, Adrab, you would think that when the Kohen Gadol goes lefnai v'lefnim, we should appoint a million people, all different types of shomrim guards should be there to watch from all different sides to make sure the Kohen Gadol does what he's supposed to, because the kapara of Klal Yisrael depends upon what happens in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. And yet the Torah says, no. I want the entire Klal Yisrael to trust the Kohen Gadol. Isn't that an amazing thing? Why is it Kodesh Kodashim, a double degree of Kodesh? Because it's Kodesh, not just because it's Hashem's abode, it's the place where Kodesh Baruch Hu is Mashra Hishchina. This is the makam in the world where we have the greatest trust in a human being. You trust another fellow human being. So, if you don't trust another human being, if you don't have any emuna in your fellow man, that a human being is b'tzelem elokim. That's a revelation that there's something lacking in your emuna in Hashem. Now, obviously, you'll tell me today you can't live like that. I agree with you. Okay, today you can't. Today,
you can't trust
but obviously, that's part of the problem. We live in the Niskatim Hadoros. Okay, a parent wouldn't trust their child, trust the person with their child unless he has a million background checks to make sure we know what's going on and his license and his security and this and that. Okay, that's the way we live today. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. But you have to understand, there is such a thing that there is a concept which is being lost from us, that you trust your fellow man. There's a moon in your fellow man. When you see people set up a system where there's no room for trust, everything is checked, double checked, and there is no trust, that already shows there's something lacking in that society. The Chinese, you know, do they trust one another? It's an interesting thing. I saw that my experience with this one fellow, which I knew for so many years, he didn't trust me. He didn't trust me after being so good to him. Mashalim ra tachas tova over a narish kind of a dollar, It's a very disturbing thing when you see, and that reflect upon their whole attitude towards the Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know, maybe I was the exception. Maybe they had bad experience with from Jews in the neighborhood. They had bad experience with from people in the community who ripped them off and went and brought things into the cleaners and then didn't pay them. I don't know. But this fellow who works in China, he came back, and I never realized this. And the way he described his relationship with these people that he works with all the time, he says they're just flat. There's nothing going through their head. There's no life in their head. Here it says that when Mashiach, Malma is saying that when Mashiach comes, even these communities, China, Japan, and in India, they're going to have the lowest level. They mikablu me'at.
What possible?
We're in the Malbim Pasik Dalit, Pasik Hay. The Malbim Pasik Hay. They're going to the Kabul Ma'at, Nidia Sakel, Viyu Hamayim, and for them the word is going to be called the Mei of Soyim. Why of Soy? How does that relate to a little bit? I don't know. FS means a little bit more than nothingness? I don't know. Base, the second Madrega. Umois, the nation, She'enim Oiv Dina Avodah Zarah, the Yeshlam Das. People, nations that do have a degree of spirituality, but they're misled, they're misguided. Maybe he's referring to Christianity. Shituf. They're going to be upgraded. Gimel. Your nations, I'm not sure who he's referring to, who know the real deal. They really have a true appreciation of the Ribbono Shel Olam, except they will not yet mekabel all of the mitzvos. They'll be upgraded. And finally, Dalit, Ha'uma Shekibla, this refers to Klal Yisrael. We, who have it all today, we have the real. We're the real deal. We have the Torah. We have the right hashkafa. We hope we are the real deal. We will also be upgraded at the times of Mashiach to receive a dosage of Yirah Shamayim that's beyond our comprehension. This is called the Mei Sachu Kigo Mei Hadas B'Nafsham B'Shef Harav. Now, what's the significance of where these waters are located? Everyone, every nation in the world will come to the door of Yerushalayim. They will recognize that this is the capital of the world, Yerushalayim. Levakesh oisu lakira vlelechas bar Hashem shaad sheela shalikiblu adain derke Hashem klal yidchaku yoisel lishkoid ala oil. Now, this is a very deep idea. The people who know the least are going to be the ones that are going to be coming, come to Yerushalayim, which means Japan, China, and India.
Look at all those tourists.
It's amazing because when I came and I went to Eretz Yisrael, this resonates with me because I was literally the last one off the plane. Came on the plane that I went to Eretz Yisrael, El Al, Baruch Hashem, nonstop. I was like, someone help me out going there. And the plane was, half the plane were Americans and a significant chunk were from people. For whatever reason, we landed. I lost something on the plane. I had a little device. I waited until everyone got off so I can crawl down under the seats to find it, which Baruch Hashem I did. And then I went, and then right away I was with my sister. She wanted to make a phone call. Then I went to the Beis Hakisei. By the time I got to customs, I was the last one. Okay, off my plane. So everyone already went through the gates. But who was there with me in front of me? Chinese. A whole plane load of Chinese. Now, what are they coming here for to Israel? Why are they so interested in coming to Eretz Yisrael? When I went to the Kaisel, who was there by the Kaisel? A lot of Chinese. Right. And it really struck me, like, they're really, really into Israel, the Chinese.
They go sightseeing.
Chinese, but you have to say, in Ihu lo yoda, Mazla Yoda. It's taka true, they're coming to sightsee. There's no question about it.
I heard from Malcolm Holmes when he spoke, and I read
it. Yeah.
He said that Chinese are coming, and some of them they become very emotional, and they have they feel like a connection.
A connection.
And then that the amount of Chinese it's growing, the amount that they're coming to visit in Israel.
So it has to be. Look what the Malbim says. The Malbim says the people who know the least, who are the least connected, are the ones that are going to demand, are going to exert themselves the most to connect, because they have nothing. They have nothing. They feel the epis have to connect, get something, and you see that today. Isn't that amazing today? That's exactly what's happening today. The people from these countries really are zero. They have no, there's nothing going through their mind. For some reason, they're being awakened. Now, of course, they're being awakened because the sightseeing, Israel is giving them a great deal to come to hotels to build up the economy. But you have to say there's something much deeper going on in Shemayim. In Ihu lo yoda, maz le yoda. Somehow they're drawn to Eretz Yisrael. And it says here, they're the ones who are going to come first.
And Kiro.
Yeah.
Among our own, who are the more likely candidates for Kirov? Those without any background at all, rather than those who have some corrupted background.
Corrupted background, that's right. Fine. Exactly. So they're the ones, that's why the Meir Fossim, they're going to be the ones that are going to, that's coming out of the Azor, that's the closest. The next one is Lushkoda al Oyel, the Yidifu Ludas Hashem, Kamush Nemar, Luchun, Vinalil Hashem, the Arena Midrachov, the Elish Lo Lamdu, Yu Yosebifnim, Min Elish Shekvar Lamdu, Vyadu S Hashem, Shetsu Luchutz Lof, it's my Noy Narsem, Luchutza. Ad Shemai Meir Sachu, until we come, people who are the most affiliated, like I asked the people there to show. How often do you go to the Kaisel? So one of the Charedim confessed to me, you know, sometimes it can be years. You're living in Eretz Yisrael. It's pretty scary. He confessed, he says, you know, you live in Beit Shemesh. To go to the Kaisel, you know, it's an hour and a half trip. So it can sometimes be years from the time that they go to visit the Kaisel relative to an American who comes to Eretz Yisrael once in every year, 2 years, 3 years. Isn't that shocking? You live in Eretz Yisrael and you don't go to the Kaisel every so often? Since you can go, it's like in America, when was the last time I went to the Statue of Liberty? Probably 30 years ago. And when someone comes to visit from Eretz Yisrael, the first thing they have to do is like Sakonis and the Fashas, they have to go to the Statue of Liberty. Really? You really want to go? I would pay not to go. And you're running to go? Okay, so it goes to show, you know, it's something very interesting. So the people who are the most affiliated have the least desire to run to the Beis Hamikdash. That's why they're going to be far away. Whatever this means over here. But over here, he's presenting over here a new idea. The Malbim, a very fascinating idea. There are four different madrigals representing four different upgrades. There are three different types of nations today. There are nations that know Ephes. There are nations that believe in divinity but are misguided. And then there are nations which got it right pretty much, but they don't have the whole picture. And then there is us, Klal Yisrael. And each one of these nations is going to be upgraded to a new level of awareness that they're not familiar with. And the less that they have, the more of a need they're going to feel to get close to the Beis HaMikdash to learn about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now he goes further. The Chazal Amru B'Melitzasim Hamayin Hazet Chilasim Eitz Kosh HaKadosh Mamar B'Nechas B'Shem Rabbi Ahuna. He goes, we learned this before in the Rashi and the Metzilas, so we read it very, very quickly. Hamayin Hayoytze Mibeis Kosh HaKadosh B'Tchilu Doimel L'Karnei Chagovim Kevan Shegiel L'Pesach HaYichol Nase Kichut Shel Shesi. The kevan shegil lepesach ulam nasek kichut shel erev. The kevan shegil lepesach azor nasek kifi pach koton, like opening of a container. Datom shahamayim hoele hamadoim. This water of knowledge, the me hadas has cholosam me hasechel hanetzol me oilam huatzilus. So here he's telling us what Chazal have in mind, that this knowledge comes from the world of Atzilus, which means from Hashem himself, some mystical concept. Shemirumos bebeis kochei hakadoshim. The kochei hakadoshim is the closest place in this world to Shemayim, and therefore the knowledge there starts out in very esoteric, mystical knowledge. ושם דוימר כקרני חגבים כי אין אנו משיגים מן האור ההוא הגדול רק כמעט סדקיס. Okay, he's saying something very profound here. The reason why the water is still, it's compared to mei chagavim is so small, you almost need a microscope to see the antenna of a locust. That reflects that the amount of understanding we have of what's going on in Shemayim is infinitely small. That is the chiddush, that's a new idea that the Malbim is presenting to us. We think we know what's going on in Shemayim, we know nothing about what's going on in the other world. I have absolutely no clue of what's happening over there, and that's why the word that comes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim is microscopic. Next, when it comes out of the Heichol, that's the Olam HaKise. What is that? Who knows what that is? Another mystical concept. Yukar Yosef Kuchut Shal Shasi. So that is a little more understandable to us. The Pesach Olam Shemiramis Al HaHaskalah Olam HaMalachim. The angels Shanti Posach HaYidia Yosef Ad SheYetzim Pesach Hazor V'Luchutz. It's a little bit bigger. Uboil Olam HaOifanim, the world of the Oifanim. Shuhu Olam HaGashmi Shesham Doime BeKipach. Okay, so the more the water comes out of the Beis Hamikdash, the wider it gets. It alludes to the fact that we have more of an understanding of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Ubeze himlitz shemadat ha'elef harishayin neged ha'ilef ha'limud ve'olam ha'atzilus hayu mei ofsoyim kisham ha'asaga ayin ve'efes. These are the very mystical concepts. We'll just skip down. Let's just leave it with that, because I have really no idea what he's referring to over here in these very deep mystical terms. Okay, now let's maybe just jump a little bit further, and let's jump to. I'll read it very quickly because everyone's going to get me. Let's jump to Pasuk Ches. Okay, let's get continue in the Malbim. He has another idea in Pasuk Ches. Vayomer Eli Ata Bo Lefarish Lo Shnei Hamarish Shera. Okay, at the very end of the section, after the water comes out of, starts out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim to the Heichel, to the Ulam, to the Azara, and then the 4,000 Amos, it then spreads to the Mei Sidoim, the Mei Kinneret, and the Okeanos, the Mediterranean. And Hashem says to Yechezkel, the Malach says to Yechezkel, that from here the waters will spread to the world and heal the waters. So what does this mean in the understanding of the Malbim? The two Maris. He explains the trees, the significance of the trees that are growing on the two sides of the stream. Number one, the Malach says, yesterday in the Rashi to America, or to the frontier. Hainu. Liyam Hamizrahi Vyardu El Al Harava El Yam Harava Ubo Hayama Ritsan Loimar. I'm reading in the Malbum Pasik Perik Mem Zayin Pasik Ches Misham Yavahu El Yam Acher El Hayam Hamut Soim Ritsan Loimar Min Hayam Acher Yavo El Yam Shu Yotzim in a Yishuv. It's mutsa means it leaves society, it leaves civilization. The Hainu El Yom Okeanos, the Mediterranean. Smachlaikis. The Okeanos, the Machlaikis, and the Rishonim. This Machlaikis, the Mepharshim, is the Okeanos referred to the Mediterranean, or does it refer to the Atlantic? The question is also a time question. At what point in time was that Mepharish writing? At one point, were they even aware that there is something called the Atlantic Ocean? Were they aware of this? Maybe, yeah, maybe not, whatever it is. But the point over here is, it means outside of civilization. It means the end of the world. And it's telling us over here is that the world will be healed from its salt content. Desalinization. Is that how you pronounce it?
Desalinization.
Desalinization. Desalinization.
Desalinization.
Okay, Israel is the leader in this. Isn't that interesting over here? Yirapu Hamayim from the Kodesh HaKadoshim comes out desalinization, and Israel today is the world leader in this process, yes. And they're selling the technology. They're selling the technology to the entire world. Halay Davar. Look over here. It's mamish. The psukim are jumping. They're leaping out of the prophecies in the many dimensions are leaping off the page.
So if you take it a long time, you were learning that this, the size of the Harabais will be, he said, bigger than Israel now.
No, it won't be bigger than Israel now. If I said it was incorrect, it will be very, very large. It's not going to be bigger than Israel now. It just means it's going to be very, very large. Eretz Yisrael will be much bigger. Eretz Yisrael is going to expand all the way past Jordan, but it's not going to be the whole world. It's just going to be a major chunk.
Except that the desalinization here, it's the opposite. Not taking water from the Mediterranean and turning it into fresh water. It's the other way around. The fresh water generated from the Har Bayis is going to end up heading
the Urapu. Rapu, right. Okay. All right. It's the cleansing of salt. The Amr Chazal. Lehechan heim yoytzim. Where is the water going? Liyam Tveria, uliyam Sidaim, uliyam Okyanus, lerabba samayim hamuluchim. Neviyadu al harava. So he explains the three different parts of the pasuk. We really did this yesterday in the Rashi. Arava ze yama shel Tveria, uvo hayama ze yama shel Sidaim, uvel hamayim hamutzaim ze yama Okyanus. The kavanas hamalitza hazos. What is the symbolic significance of these three bodies of water? Shnei hadas. The water of knowledge, the Akaras Hashem Yispashtu Oz Bein Shnei Ho'umois Edoim V'Yishmoel. Isn't this amazing what he's saying over here? That the recognition of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to spread to the two major nations of the world, Edoim and all their affiliates, and Yishmoel and all of their affiliates. She Yishmoel Heim Yoshvei HaMizrach. Yishmoel is in the east. He considers them to be the east of Eretz Yisrael. The Edom Heim Yoshvei HaMarav, they're in the west. That's indeed correct. He's calling Zechariah, and Zechariah there has come to complement. In Zechariah and in Yoel, there are more psukim which complement what we've learned over here in Yechezkel. It will go to the water will half el hayom hakadmoni. That refer in the Malbim's thing. This refers to Yishmoel. The chetzyom el hayom acharon. This refers to Edoim. Vehem kashne hakitoyes shera b'moshel she'echad oiver b'mei birkayim. He's coming to connect. He's coming to say that when it says the birkayim and the afosim and the mosnayim. There is a parallel to these bodies of water.
Yeah, I wanted to come back to that for a second. I think it was the third category that where describes people who have an understanding of
Hashem,
theistic faith,
but
they don't have Torah knowledge.
Right.
So that would, to me, would refer to
the Noahites,
believing Christians, and Muslims.
I thought that would be the second level.
No, that's obviously he's excluding the Catholics, but I think that's what you're getting to right at this point, that both Muslims and many Christians who don't believe in a Trinity, like evangelical types, accept the Bible to an extent. And are monotheistic, basically, and they have a certain recognition. To say that they have no recognition of.
So who's the next level? So you want to say the Catholics? That they're level number one.
Level.
Okay, maybe. Okay, in Hanami, maybe. I was thinking more that the Ger Toishav, people who are Makabel, the Zion
Mitzvahs.
Okay, maybe. Okay.
Where do the Orientals, the Chinese, fit into the Edom and Yishmael?
They don't.
They're lower.
They're lower. They're not. They are not. They're out. They have no religion. They are not. They are not related to Edom and Yishmael. Definitely not.
Do they know where their ancestry is?
Even the Christians today.
For them in our
look, even the Christians and the Muslims today are they're not necessarily miyuchasim. It just means pretty much that they have adopted the ideology of what Edom represents. Does not necessarily mean that if you'll take your average pope and you'll trace his yichus, he'll probably be Jewish. That's more likely. But if you'll trace his yichus, he's not necessarily going to be a ben achaben to Esav. And all of the Muslims are also not necessarily.
It's just an ideology
somehow that where they settled in this world, the dominant ideology was something which is related to Edom or relates to Yishmael, but it does not mean they're miyuchasin.
Okay.
That's what most of the people.
No, of course not.
Okay, but some of our
biologically,
the Iranian people, they were not Muslim.
They're not Muslim.
They were forced to be Muslims,
right? But Iran today is not viewed to be. They're viewed to be different. They're not viewed to be the mainstream Muslims. They're a variety, right? Is that my saying correct?
The Shiites. They were forced. They are fire. Now also there is a center in Iran that they have that place that they fire every time, 24 hours, every day is...
Ishtamit.
Yeah.
Avodah Zara. Okay, let's finish this up over here. So here he goes on to say, Yod Yishu Samayim V'chem Shnei Hakita Shor B'mashal V'chem. Okay, look, V'chabu Ramunu V'amidus V'yapu V'amina Melach Sodomis. Okay. B'mashal Sh'echar Oyeh B'mei V'rkayim V'yachal B'mei Masnayim. Because Yishtu es Hamayim Hamadoim the Nal, water of knowledge. Asher Yetsu Mibes Mesachem Nikabu Amunav Hamites V'yirapu Min HaMelech HaStoymes, and they'll be healed from the Melech Stoymes Shamasameh Eswainayim. He's saying over here a beautiful idea that the Melech Stoymes Nechazal said that we have to wash Mayim Achroinim to remove the Melech Stoymes. Why? Because Melech Stoymes is a sakon to the eyes. If Melech Stoymes gets in the person's eyes, Rachmana Litzon, he can become blind. So there is a spiritual re'iyah. Okay, Chanukah is, you look at the Neros, is a spiritual re'iyah to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they will be healed from the Mei Sedoim.
It's hard to see also the people open their eyes.
To see Hashem. Bemunos bilti amitios v'chen yetzu amayim hamadoim gam gemoliam ha-sedoim v'shim litza al ha-meshukoim oi be'avoides alilim shaleim romas b'mei of sayim. So the melech stomach is this is waters which blind the person's eyes from seeing a kadosh baruch hu. The yiru or bohir. Gam yeri liyam shel tveri shoshem moishem neishol asher himlitz aleim b'mei shachu. Lerapois gam tachluei nafsham v'kulam yishtu min hamayim hamadoim v'savo chochmo kemayim b'kibam ish lefi hachanasayim. So what he's saying over here is as follows. Maybe it's not exactly on it, but he's saying that three different bodies of water represent three different types of people. Mei Tveria refers to Klal Yisrael. That among the people of Klal Yisrael, there's room for improvement. And when Mashiach comes, the building of the Beis HaMikdash, even among us, those people whose ideology, whose hashkaf is not 100% correct, which every single person has room for improvement, will be healed. And that's the significance of this water going into the Mei Tveria. The water going into the waters of Sodom refers to people who are blind, people who are totally blind, or people who are idolaters, who worship idols. Mei Sodom is Melech Sodomis. Melech Sodomis blinds a person's eyes. These are people who worship idols. And fresh water, and what about the Meak Yonos? That means people who are neutral, people who are
that's not fresh
water. Who are, okay, not fresh water, but they're not, their eyes are not as blind, polluted as the Mei Sodom. So there are three different levels, three different types of bodies of water to which the waters will flow to reflect the three different types of people in this world, and each one will be receptive to improve their relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that concludes, and then the Pasuk Tes. Let's just see very quickly what it's looking at Pasuk Tes. It's beautiful. It concludes very nicely, Pasuk Tes. That's where we're at. That's the last Pasuk. Then they're going to be the trees. And anyone that comes in contact with the waters of the trees is going to grow. These waters will heal the poisonous waters. They will live. The people that are alive at that time, the yishtu, and will drink of the waters of knowledge. Will live a spiritual life. V'chein yisrabu hamekablu hamunu hamitiyus, and they will increase in number. Those who have emun in Hashem shall yidei hamayim ha'ila yeirafu mecholi hanefesh emunu saras. Through drinking these waters, they will be healed from their spiritual sickness. Umemela kein Yosef hanachal lehagir shamema v'chein yosifu l'shoiv bisasoin mimayne hayishu. People will draw from these waters with joy. The more we want, the more Hashem will give. The reason why the waters will increase to a point where it's going to be so numerous is because we're going to want the desire. And at this point in time, we will come to have new awareness, new hasagos in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's so true today. Today there is such a ribuy of Torah. It's really amazing. One thing I can tell you at Eretz Yisrael, I got to tell you this. I went to Eretz Yisrael. So everyone, they come back and they tell you, and they go to Eretz Yisrael, that the building, the construction, every time they go, it's a new land. They've never seen like what it was a year ago. I come back a year later, there's so much more construction, there's so much more going on, the roads and the homes, and it's absolutely true.
Almost like
no, not exactly. Much, much more. Infinitely more. But it's absolutely true. The growth is exponential. There's an exponential growth taking place in the Eretz Yisrael. When you go from year to year, it's a whole different land. In addition to this, I want to tell you, Eidos, is that the Sfarim stores have also exponentially grown. Okay, years ago, when I went to the same Sfarim store in Eretz Yisrael, there are certain Sfarim I like to go to. Okay, they're small. How many new Sfarim are there? 5 new Sfarim, 10 new Sfarim. I went a year and a half ago. The Sfarim store has grown. They've expanded. And instead of there only being 5 to 10 new Sfarim, there are 20 new Sfarim on the shelves. This year, when I've gone only a few days ago, those same Sfarim stores have doubled in size, and the number of new Sfarim on every conceivable topic has multiplied like locusts. So you see, in Eretz Yisrael, what Chadoshim? What do you mean, new Sfarim? No, not Malachim. No, no, no. Original Sfarim, Chidushim, all different types. Malachim also. But new tzvar, new avenues, new yidiyos, new mechatshim, and it's look. Even I have the sefer right here in front of me. Here's a new sefer I have over here in front of me. I don't know why I put it on the table over here. But also, this is new chidushim, new yisaidos, new ideas. I got this in America, not Eretz Yisrael. But okay. So you see that we're living in these times. We're living now in times where the nehadas is increasing. It's flowing. People have an intense desire to come close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and we're living in very exciting times. The Malbim says those who merit to live in these times will drink from these waters and live a spiritual life. Baruch Hashem, to a certain degree, we're living in these times. The Malbim is not living in these times, but we're living in these times, and therefore we have to take advantage of the bracha that we have today. Okay, we're up to pasuk. Let's listen to one pasuk before we conclude. Pasuk Yud V'Hayin will be V'Haya Amdu Olav Davogim. What is the meaning of a Davogim? Fishermen. Okay, from all the things that you'd expect Yechezkel to tell us about what's going to be when Mashiach comes, you think they'll tell you they're going to send a spaceship to the moon, right? To go make a Chabad house, Mars. But that's not what he said. He said, let's go back to the basics. There's going to be fishermen. They're not talking about space stations. The Hayyan, it will be Amdu, or the Amdu Yalav Davogim, fishermen. Me'ein Gedi, all of Me'ein Gedi, Yad Ein, until Ein Eglayim, Mishtoyach Lacha Ramim, they will be spreading out nets. Yiyu, Leminatiye Digosam, and they will collect. Lemina means their own kind. Now, what we'll see in just one moment. They will collect their own kind. Kidgas hayom hagodol rabo meod. Let's see the mitzvah stuff in this pasuk yud. Pasuk yud. Let's go slow. Pasuk yud in the mitzvah stuff. We're telling about the fish. Let's lavo. Let me just find the place. I lost the place. Let's see. V'hoya amdu olav. V'hoya hanachal amakam muchon yamdu olav tzayadei dogim. Along this nachal that's coming out from the Kodesh HaKadoshim that has now swelled and is humongous. There'll be fishermen on both sides. U'me'ein gediv yad yu mekoymos muchonois lefros sham harish shasois. They will spread out their nets. Shel tzayadei dogim linagva mul hashemesh, to dry them. They'll spread out their nets along the two sides of the nachal to dry them opposite the sun. And then lemina. Now, what does this mean? Of the lemina tiyed digosam. We said lemar lechol min hadagot tiyed digosam shel hanecholim. Kiyiya sham kol min dogim viyu bimispar mirube meod ki mispar digas hayam hagadol. Every type of fish will be found in this stream. Now you'll ask, but what about the saltwater fish? They cannot survive. What? Lechayra kosher fish. I'm assuming kosher fish. I don't know. But lechayra kosher fish. But what about the saltwater fish? I don't know. Doesn't explain, because we know today that there are certain types of fish that can only survive in saltwater. And I think most of the fish that we eat today is saltwater fish, if I'm not mistaken. So what exactly does it, is going to be a shini in the teva? I have no idea what this means. But it says over here in this pasuk, the water is going to be fresh water. And in this fresh water, it's going to be all, every type of fish that you can possibly imagine. That's what's expressed lemina, according to its kind, will be tiyed digosam, and the number of fish, the species of fish, will be like the kidgas hayam hagadol, rabam me'od, will be no limit to number of fish. Let's see Rashi, pasuk yud, v'hoya amdu olav da vogim. This is a very unique word, a fisherman. Fishermen will line up along this stream, and they will spread la'charamim, their nets, lemich moirois, traps, lemina tia digosam, lo mapik hay. There is no dot in the hay, upeirusha leminim harbe tia digosam. Every time you have a hay at the end of the word, it means a ribui. For example, Chanukah. Chanukah, and Farshim say this, why is it called Chanukah? The holiday should really be called Chinuch. Chinuch. They were Mechanech the Mizbeach. Oz Egmar Bashir Mizmar, Chanukas HaMizbeach. Zos Chanukas HaMizbeach. So if you want to describe the holiday after the renewal, it should have been correctly been called Chinuch. The festival of Chinuch. Yeah, that's not what we call it, Chanukah. Why do we call it Chanukah? So the Mefarshim answer this idea, whenever you have a hey in the world of grammar, a hey at the end of a word implies a multitude, implies a ribui. And what Chazal had teaching us by adding a hey to the word Chinuch, to change Chinuch to Chanukah, means there's not just one renewal. Every single year, there is a new renewal. In fact, they did not institute that a holiday should be a holiday until a year later. L'shana haba'ah kiva'um. When they realized that on the following year, Chazal, when this time of the calendar came around, people also began to renew themselves.
There's some perspective in looking at what happened.
What happened forces you to, when you reflect upon the miracle, it forces you to refresh, to renew your relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hey at the end of a word connotes an abundance. There are many dimensions to renewal that take place in Chanukah. Maybe you want to focus on even the time of the miracle. There are many different dimensions to renewal. And even as we live in our time, every single year, in every single generation, every single year, there is a renewal. There's a multitude of renewals. That's why it's Chanukah and not Chinuch. And that idea is being expressed over here in the word Lemina. It should have said Lemin. The fact that it says Lemina with a hey at the end and not just Lemin connotes a multitude of different types of fish. If it were referring to Itzmin, if you want to say the word Itz, then there would be a dot in the hey. It would be Lemina. It's
mean. Like it is in other places.
Other places, but that mean it's. That emphasizes itself. But the fact that it does not say with a dot in the hay, we have the other form, it means a multitude.
Yeah, I don't think the word again is such a strange word at all. Because you have chamorim.
Chamorim, okay. All right, okay. But we don't hear the word too often. We don't hear in modern Hebrew,
practice a certain occupation.
But Meir, in modern Hebrew, how do you refer to fishermen? What?
Dayog,
a fisherman. Fisherman.
Dayog.
So this is a new word. Over here in Yechezkel it says davogim. Davogim. Not a davog. Okay, whatever it is.
Lemin
dayog.
That's the conjunction.
All right, but this is a unique word. Let's see again. The fish of the Rashi says the gozom loy mapikay upeirush leminim harbeiti the gozom lemino loshen roiv minim kimo v'hadogash bayar dogash you have in Shemos v'hadogash bayar it's a head. The head means all of the fish. Kol an chosa hishbati, all sorrow, all the multiple types of sorrow I put an end to. Let's see. Let's just see. Maybe the malbum and this will stop. The malbum over here. Pasuk yud. V'hoya amdu olav da vogim lotzud hadogim al ad shekol shetach ha'aretz she ne'in gedi v'ad'in v'ad'in eglayim yem mishtoyach lacharamim. There will be so many fishermen that they're going to be able to spread their nets from this location to the location. We shows us the sits of dogim, hadogim yu lemina, hain lemi kol min v'min yivyu the dogim gedolim, kidgas hayam hagadol, like the number of fish that are in the yam hagadol, v'gam yu rabam o'od b'mispar v'amalit. So what is the message? What is the symbolic message of this, of these words? So the Malbim says, v'amalit so shayamdu oz nivyim rabim. Look at this. The davogim refers to prophets. He says davog is a metaphor for a prophet. Umoirim, teachers. Umulamdim, different types of teachers. Hatsodim es hadogim. Hainu sheyikhu es hanafashois shayu bimadregos dogim. The fish refers to different types of people who are different levels of spirituality, and the fishermen are going to teach them, are going to guide them. Shehu bal hachai hapachus. The fish is considered to be the lowliest of creatures. V'yalum lirishusam, the fishermen, which means the Talmidei Chachamim, the Nevi'im, are going to take the fish, these creatures, these human beings, on a low spiritual level, bring them into their domain, and elevate them spiritually. Shayu b'madregas ha'odam ha'medaber, they're going to take them from a chai to a medaber. The hamaskil v'hayodeya, to a person who understands and knows. V'makom shum me'ein gedi ad ein eglayim. What is the symbolic significance of these two locations? With soynoi loymar, this means makom she'ovdu le'koychavim azalois v'yarchu le'gedi shulchan. What's ein gedi? Gedi is God. What is God? God is in Avodah Zarah. God was in Avodah Zarah, and those, like it says, people who would arrange lagidi, a shulchan, a table, in honor of this idol, or his constellation in heaven. So that's what Ein Gedi, the people who in the past were worshippers of idols, they will now be removed from the water by the Nevi'im, by the Talmidei Chachamim, and they will be elevated, they will be cleansed from their mistakes. The Arimu es Kvaidam Bitavnis Egel, and they will elevate them to their honor, to the image of an Egel, Sha'avdu Lamazel Tale, those people in the past who worship Egel, Ulamazel Shar, Vachashush Ein Gedi Hu Amashaitate, Ba'aretz Mashkiach Alecha, Ye Sham Mishtoyach Lacharamim, Vashasais Hamashchim, Unafash Lashus Kadusha, Vemud Vadas, and the Tzaydim, Lashus Hakadusha, Yu Mikol Min, Mikol Uma Veloshan, all different types of nation. Gam Sarim, Gudalim, Mikol Kad, Yibim, Ulodas Hashem, Lachsis, Bitzel Kinafav, Kaidus Shuatu. Basically, over here, the idea is that it's going to be a very large number, which means every single nation. There's going to be fish from every single nation that's going to be elevated, and they're going to be cleansed from their mistake. Okay, before we conclude, what I want to tell you over here is that obviously you know very well is that fish is a very important food for tzaddikim and for on Shabbos. We know that on Shabbos there's a minute to eat fish. Kol oichel dog bidog nitzol midinoi nitzol midog. You know that expression? Whoever eats a dog bidog is nitzol midog. What's dog? A fish. And what's dog? Dog is Shabbos, 7. Dog is Begematrius Shabbos. Is Nitzol from dog. What's dog? Dino Gehenim. Okay, so if you eat fish on Shabbos, you'll be spared from Gehenim. What is that all about? I have no idea. But fish, obviously. No, that's a saying. It's a saying.
Fish are survivors.
What?
Fish are survivors.
Survivors from the old world. They go back to Maisa Bereshis, because the dogim were not in the marble, they were not destroyed in the marble. And so there's a tradition that neshamos who need to come back into this world. So neshamos that are resham, they come back as animals, and beinonim come back as chayos, and tzaddikim come back as fish. So on Shabbos, you want on your Shabbos table only tzaddikim. During the week, you have basar, okay? Or you have chayos. But Shabbos, you have fish. I think the Sagna Rav, probably a lot of the Rebbes, they only ate fish, the very makbid, not to eat fish during the week.
Yes.
They only eat fish on Shabbos, Yom Tov, and on a special,
just,
a special.
Rav Steinman, maybe you've heard that on Shabbos, he used to ask his wife for a double on fish.
Yeah.
All the every Shabbos.
Doubles.
Yeah. And then when she was nifter, they, you know, it was, they buy as members, they gave him fish. He says, no. He says, I don't even like fish. He says, I don't even like it, but I only do it for the cover of my wife.
Wow.
For 60 years like that.
Rav Steinman. He only asked wife to give a chazivis to his wife. Okay, fish, obviously. Rabbi Sai. We have, everyone has a conversation. We have four conversations I see going on at the same time. Rabbi Sai, please. Rav Meir. We have fish is obviously a very spiritual creature, and we have to also say that this that the air to the mix, this idea that we spoke fish about Maisa Bereishis, you have to, after you learn Yecheskel, you have to appreciate that when you see tzaddikim eating fish on Shabbos, it's also reflecting the future, the coming of Mashiach. Because since over here it says that when Mashiach comes, the Beis Hamidrash will be rebuilt. And the major nevuah is this idea that this water, the Ne Hadas, is going to come out of the Kodesh HaKodashim, and it's going to spread to the world, and there's going to be fishermen standing on the two sides of the Ne Hadas, and it's going to extract the fish. Obviously, when people who are eating fish on Shabbos is Me'ein Olam Haba, it reflects the future. In addition to the Shabbos of Ma'aseh Bereishis, in addition to the Shabbos of Matan Torah, there's the Shabbos of La'asid, and in the future, fish is a very prominent creature, besides the Leviathan. But here, you see over here that along this stream, the attraction to this stream are the fishermen that are extracting the fish. So when you're eating fish on Shabbos, you're connecting to this nevuah that will happen in the times of Mashiach, which allude to the Mehadas, the healthy Mehadas, that would elevate us to a new spiritual high, and reflecting a new relationship that we will have with Ribbono Shel Olam. That is something, at least a practical consideration to take out of this pasuk when you come to Shabbos and eat fish, to think about this nevuah at the end of Sefer Yecheskel. Okay, we're going to stop over here. We'll pick this up tomorrow, pasuk Yud Aleph.